In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For the Jews, the life was in the blood. What a terrible fate, then, for the blood of those Galileans to be mixed with the blood sacrifices that the Romans had offered to their false gods. There could have been no graver insult on the part of Pontius Pilate to do that to those insurrectionists from Galilee. And this is why our Lord knows that for every Jew this is an unfathomable thing. Again, for the Jew, the life is in the blood, which is why if you're Jewish, you can't eat the blood of animals. And so he knows what they're thinking. Our Lord is never speculating when you hear him say these things, because he can read hearts. He's cardiognostic. And so he asked the question knowing that they actually believe it, because it was such a horrible fate to have your blood taken out, collected, and then mixed with the small animals that the Romans would sacrifice to their false gods. To mix human blood in that context would even be reprehensible by our standards. So our Lord asked, do you think because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all the other Galileans? Sometimes people think that. You die a horrible death, they often think, What did they do to make God mad? What did they do to receive such a terrible punishment? Well, it's correct to understand that death is a punishment for original sin. That is true. And God never gave anyone the ability to avoid, at least in the Catholic sense, death. Because this is a reality for all of us. Our Blessed Lady Mary Most Holy, the Queen of the Angels, a whole different category, fully human but the Immaculate Conception. Enoch and Elijah did not die per se, but they are still in heaven. That's why they will be sent down and they will be killed by Antichrist at the end of the world, as the book of Revelation tells us. So therefore, death should be something that we're aware of and we're contemplating. Especially given the reality that we don't know when it's going to happen. Now, maybe these Galileans knew when it was going to happen, being arrested, being going through a fake trial and then condemned to death by Pontius Pilate. Knowing this, our Lord then brings up the 18 people who were killed by the tower at Siloam. The tower fell on them. Don't picture a single tower sitting out. Josephus describes one of the ancient towers in the old city, so it would be one of those towers on the corner of the walls for defense. It had collapsed, and it was near the pool of Siloam. And so these people would have just been walking, and this old tower, old even by their standards, just suddenly collapses, and they're dead. Now, the Galileans would have known it was coming, but not those citizens of Jerusalem who did not. That's why our Lord brings it up. It's not a matter of getting obsessed with how people die. It's a reality of accepting that we are all going to die. You are going to die. I am going to die. And it's something that our culture wants us to escape. Why? Because our culture is completely imbued with sin. Our culture is a lover of sin. It's godless. It serves Satan. And therefore, death, Satan promises that you won't experience it. Just get lost in the hedonism, the pursuit of pleasure. And our Lord is warning, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. In a horrible way. It doesn't mean the matter of death is going to be worse for those who don't repent of their sins, because Jesus indicates the fact that they were killed by Pontius Pilate, which he himself would be, by the way. And Luke is prefiguring that in this passage. But also the reality of the 16 who died from the tower near the pool of Siloam. They died, and the death, if they were not prepared for death, their destiny is far worse than the actual means by which they die. If you do not repent, you will all perish as they do. Repent, remember, that's the whole point of Lent. We've been doing this to detach ourselves not only from the things of the world, but to detach ourselves from sin, world sin, and to attach ourselves more deliberately to God, to be more deliberate in our prayers and our almsgiving and our fasting, with God as the ultimate goal. And so ideally, repentance is part of the process. And so that's the whole point of the church giving us a Lenten season, so that we do it constantly. And that's why our Lord ends this gospel with some degree of hope. For those who are aware that you're all going to die and you need to be prepared for it by repenting and not sinning anymore, one could have been overwhelmed with the notion of death and think that we are hopeless. But our Lord tells the parable of the fig tree. He will always give another chance. And so therefore, if we live life aware that we are only one breath away from death, then we keep ourselves prepared for death. So when the enemy tempts us to sin, we choose not to, because I could die later on this afternoon. And again, as I've told you before, if you think about it, that would actually make you appreciate life more than to be afraid. Most people are afraid of living, much less afraid of dying. True Catholics should never be afraid of living, or should never be afraid of dying. Yes, God gives within us an appreciation for the gift of life, and we want to preserve it. But when its time has come, we accept that reality. If you spend your life in right relationship with God, you have absolutely nothing to worry about with regards to death, whether it be an easy death or a difficult one. And that used to be the benchmark of Catholics. Remember the first Catholics being sent to the wild beasts in the Colosseum were singing hymns as lions were coming at them to devour them. They were singing hymns to our Lord. They were fearless in the face of death. And this impressed the pagans, who had always been told that Christians were weak and soft. It was they who had become weak and soft by sin. They were no longer the empire they once were. Think of what life looks like if you're constantly aware that you're only one breath away from death. You would never take another person in your life for granted, because you may never see them again, or they may never see you again. You would never mistreat anyone in your life if you knew that not only you, but they are one breath away from death. How would you so readily dismiss one of your children if you knew he was going to die that evening? How would you readily mistreat your spouse if you knew she was going to die the next day? People love the idea of being prepared for death, but in the end they're not really, because most of them use hospice or hospice to euthanize their loved ones to end the suffering, or they're talked into it. And then they romanticize the notion of standing by the bedside. They're not really prepared for death because they're not really helping the soul be prepared for death. If they're Catholic, there's no priest there. There's no prayers there. If there's no priest available, there's no one smartly standing by and praying the Chapel of Divine Mercy. They're not thinking about the disposition of the soul because they're too consumed with themselves, because they're so afraid of death and afraid of life at the same time, because life and death go together. If you're afraid of death, your chances are you're afraid of life too. That's not the way of a Catholic. Our way is of courage, not of cowardice. But think of how your perspective changes when you're just aware that we're all technically just one breath away from death. There's no guarantee that any single one of us will survive the day, the month, the year. And if we're aware of that, then we make the best of the situation. And it's reasonable for us to assume we're going to live longer. But by the same token, it's also profoundly unreasonable for us to think that we're going to live forever. So if we think in those terms and operate in those terms, then we're constantly repenting. We're constantly turning towards the Lord and turning away from sin. We're constantly making spiritual progress to get to know our Lord more and therefore to love him more and rely on his grace more. And then we're very detached from the world that we know we all have to leave, whether we want to admit it or not. And the parable of the fig tree reminds us that our Lord is always willing to give us another chance, but eventually that chance will run out, and that the chance only runs out when we die. As long as we wake up every single morning, it is God giving us a chance to repent and move away from sin and be forgiven, or, if we're not in that state, a chance to do better with charity, with the spiritual life, with all that brings us closer to God and detaches us from the world. How merciful and kind our Lord is, and we should live with that mindset. But we should never, ever, ever take anything for granted. Not God himself, certainly not our Lord, and certainly not our Lord present in the Blessed Sacrament. That's why you should treat every Mass as though it's your first Mass and your last Mass. But also, you should never take your loved ones for granted, those who are in your life. Never be dismissive. Never be too busy. Never be treating them as though they don't really matter, because that's always selfishness. Think in terms of how all of us are fragile creatures, and therefore our whole life should be about living in the life that God has put us in and living in the life of grace and directing everyone, ourselves and those we love, to salvation, turning away from sin and being faithful to the gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.